I'm Tom, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over internet pornography, and thank you, and all kinds of things that he keeps showing me. Thank you, Dwayne and Danny. Love the worship. I wore my train shirt tonight because it's a training night. You, of course, know the Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go and he will not depart from it. A couple other good ones that remind me of my shirt. 2 Timothy, they're both in 1 Timothy 4, train yourself to be godly, and physical training is of some use, but godliness has values for all things. So, we try harder. This is part two. Of course, you probably aren't old enough to remember Avis rent-a-car commercials. Excuse me. We are covering the spiritual inventory, the second half. And we're going to start with principle four, which you read tonight. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the verse that goes with that is Matthew 5:8. Happy are the pure in heart. And then step four, this is the one you actually read tonight. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the verse to go with that is from Lamentations. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So tonight we are looking at the second part of doing our spiritual inventory, our searching and fearless moral inventory. I think the fearless comes from the fact that we realize in our study, and maybe by this point in our study, we realize that we can be fearless because his love is unconditional. And he's not shaking a finger at us. He's holding us by the finger and helping us up. This particular inventory, we pray from the words of Psalm 139 because he knows us. It's, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Psalm 139:23-24 from the Living Bible. Last session, 2 weeks ago, Jeff took us through the first part of our spiritual inventories. This is a process you go through in the 12 step studies, and it's a very valuable and important one. I guess that's why we get two parts to do it. In his lesson, we discussed four areas of our lives that we needed to ask ourselves some hard questions. We looked at, 2 weeks ago, our relationships to others, our priorities, our attitudes, and our integrity. We talked about how past actions in each of these areas had a negative or positive effect on our lives and the lives of others. Tonight, we are going to finish our spiritual inventory. We will look for some of our additional shortcomings or sins that can be preventing God from working effectively in our lives and in our recoveries. Evaluating each area will help you complete that inventory. These may feel like they're a little more personal, but that's only because they are. The first area is your mind, and that's on your fill in the blanks, your mind. Did you know that the only thing harder to open than another window at the DMV is a closed mind? Romans 12:2 gives us clear directions regarding our minds. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some questions to ask yourself in this area, and yes, there are more questions. Not to intimidate, humiliate, or maculate, just illuminate. First question you might want to ask, or you will be needing to ask yourself, how have you guarded your mind in the past? What did you deny? What did you use to block off what might be hurting you? Once again, you need to see and examine how your coping skills, your self-protection, your denial, may have protected you from pain and hurt in the past, but it may also have prevented you from living in and dealing with reality. Do you know that two thoughts cannot occupy your mind at the same time? Heavens, I have trouble with just one. It is your choice as to whether your thoughts will be constructive or destructive, positive or negative. The second question you might want to ask yourself, have you filled your mind with hurtful and unhealthy, I'm going to say things to start with, now I'll enumerate, movies, internet sites, television programs, magazines, books, substances? Your ears and your eyes are doors and windows to your soul. Remember, those of us are of an age, remember GIGO or G-I-G-O? When computers were, when they were worried about them crashing on 2000? G-I-G-O stood for garbage in, garbage out. Straight living cannot come out of crooked thinking. It's just not going to happen. Remember the proverb 15:14, a wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. Also, Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats their folly. Oh, fools repeat their folly. Third question to think about. Have you failed to concentrate on the positive truths of the Bible? It has been said that three of the greatest, and I'll quote that for a minute, three of the greatest sins today are indifference to, neglect of, and disrespect for the Word of God. In my own thinking, though these sins are great, indeed, all sins separate us from God and deserve death. I don't know that these are a greater separation or deserve a greater death, but they are a problem. The important point in this question is to determine if you are choosing, not just thinking about, but if you are choosing to set aside a daily quiet time to get into God's instruction manual for your life and allowing His truth to fill your mind and your time. Next, let's look at how we have treated our bodies. Did you know that with proper care, the human body will last a lifetime? I'm having some repair work done to make sure mine makes it there. Your body, and I was going to blow a whistle, but realized that that's going to kill this and act like a coach for a moment, because Coach Paul tells us this. My coach hat fell anyway. Coach Paul says, haven't you learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit that God gave you? And that He lives within you. Your own body does not belong to you. For God has bought you with a price. So use every part of your body to give back glory to God because He owns it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, by the way. A question to ask yourself under this category. In what ways have you mistreated your body? Have you abused alcohol, drugs, food, sex? This was, and still is, a tough one for me, though the initial discovery of my internet pornography addiction was painful, devastating. God used it to scare the temptation out of me and to drive me to seek support for a lifetime process of recovery through CR and my AF, my accountability force. But as many of us do, I have also been working on other hurts, hang-ups, and habits, stemming from the various abuse of food and exercise issues for me. It is through our bodies or flesh that Satan works. But thank God that the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God freely gives us the grace of His Spirit. He values us so much that He chose to place His Spirit within us. We need to have as much respect for ourselves as our Creator has for us. A second question to ask in this area: what activities or habits cause harm to your physical health? Remember, it was God, the God of creation, all creation, who made you. Look at listen to Psalm 139 for a moment, verses 13, 14, and 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Many people say that they have the right to do whatever they want to with their own bodies, but that's a topic for another time. Another area of examination in your inventory, the third your to fill in, is your family. You got your mind, your body, now your family. In the Old Testament, Israel's leader at the time, Joshua, made a bold statement regarding his household. He said, "If you are unwilling to obey the Lord, then decide today whom you will obey. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." That's from Joshua 24:15. A question to ask in this realm: have you mistreated anyone in your family, and how? Perhaps you have physically or emotionally mistreated your family. Emotional abuse doesn't have to take the form of raging or yelling or screaming. Tearing down a child's or a spouse's self-esteem or being emotionally unavailable to them are both ways you may have harmed your loved ones. God designed families to be our safety from life's storms. So as much as it depends on you, you need to provide a haven for your family. And if that isn't possible and you yourself don't feel safe there, maybe Celebrate Recovery can be part of that family fulfillment for you. Second question to ask: against whom in your family do you harbor a resentment? This can be a difficult area in which to admit your true feelings. It's easier to admit the resentment you may have against a stranger or a coworker than it is someone in your own family. Denial can be a pretty thick fog to break through here, but you will need to do it in your inventory if you are going to be successful at writing it out and being honest with it. The third question to think about: to whom do you owe amends? At this step, you are identifying those people that might be requiring amends, and then become willing to deal with those amends. In Principle 6, all you're really looking for here is your part in a damaged relationship. To what degree have you fed that fire? And another question to ask in family: what is the family secret that you have been denying? What is the pink elephant, or the 900-pound gorilla, or whatever metaphor you want to use, in the middle of your family's living room that no one talks about? That's the family secret. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there." And the last area, the last your to fill in, is your church. So your mind, your body, your family, your church. One of the main resources, One of the main reasons John Baker started Celebrate Recovery was that he found most members of the secular 12-step groups knew the Lord's Prayer pretty well. They knew it better than they knew the Lord. They were familiar with the basics, things like God helps those who help themselves, which isn't really in the Bible, right? But we can gather information that's not quite right. Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again, is drawing near." I've got three questions under this category. One, have you been faithful to your church in the past? Your church is like a bank. The more you put into it, the more interest you gain. I'll say that again. Your church is like a bank. The more you put into it, the more interest you gain. Second question, have you been critical instead of active? If you don't like something in your church, get involved so you can help change it or at least understand it better. Turn your complaint into compliance, your gripe into grip. And the third question, have you discouraged your family's support of their church? If you aren't ready to get involved in your church, that's your decision, but don't stop the rest of your family from experiencing the joys and support of a church family. So we've made it all the way through the 8 different areas to help you begin and complete your inventory. Once again, listen to Isaiah 1:18. It's a good thing maybe to memorize this. God says, "No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." In the King James, the opening phrase, I love the opening phrase, "Come now, let us reason together." A couple of reminders as we close. Keep your inventory balanced. List strengths and weaknesses, good and bad. If you focus only on the negative, you risk depression. If you focus only on the positive, you risk denial. I'm positive of that. Also, you want to find an accountability partner and or sponsor. Maybe and rather than or sponsor. I cannot say this enough. I spoke about my AF, my accountability force. It's a force. The road to recovery is not a journey for the weak-hearted or to be made alone. So God bless you as you courageously face and own your past. He will see you through. In fact, He will help you own your future as well as the pasture. So as the produce manager once requested, let us pray. Father in heaven, you know the hairs on our head and the hurts in our heart. You made us to be whole, and you paid the price to make us whole again. As we submit to the hard work of your plan for our recovery, fill us with your truth and our truth that may have been buried in denial. Help us heal as we expose the hurts, for your cleansing and correction, and for our personal and corporate ministry to others who are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. You're certainly welcome.